how that could possibly happen, how anyone could be that irresponsible. And I thought, what data was in there that may compromise sources and methods? By that, I mean names of people who helped, or et cetera. And it's just totally irresponsible.
I think it's disgraceful.
I mean, honest to God, that's all I think.
What kind of ice cream, what flavor ice cream do you have?
You think I would tell you if I knew exactly what it would be? Of course I'm not going to tell
you. You just come in here with that negative attitude.
And it's much too early to make that kind of decision.
I'm Dave Rubin. This is The Rubin Report. It's Tuesday, March 19th, 2024. We're live streaming, as always, on Rumble, on Locals and YouTube. I combined Locals and YouTube into one thing, which I promise you will never happen. Share, subscribe, tap that notification bell if you have not. Post-game show, as always, rubinreport.locals.com. And as will become evident throughout the program today, me maintaining my independence so that nobody is my boss other than me, and that may be for better or worse, is a key piece of probably why you watch this show and think that, you know, Dave's a decent guy. So if you haven't joined us for just a couple dollars a month, you can keep us totally ad-free, rubinreport.locals.com. And I just do want to do one little bit of promo, not for me, but one little bit of promo before anything else. But my good friend, Isabel Brown, who I do the People of the Internet show with every Monday through Thursday at 1 p.m. and who, by total coincidence, is the fiance of Brock, who is sitting right over there. Her new book comes out today, The End of the Alphabet, How Gen Z Can Save America, is out today. And yes, where is it? Right there. Yours truly. How's the glare? How's the glare? It's all right. Yeah, Dave Rubin wrote the foreword on that thing. And I just interviewed her yesterday about it. It'll be up later this week. And she's just absolutely wonderful. And I love sort of the juxtaposition of I'm 47, she's 27, I'm Gen X, she's Gen Z, and that we can kind of fill that 20-year void with some sanity and hopefully get some of the young people to fix the problems that the old people have created. The theme of today's show, Ladles and Jelly Spoons, is a little bit more of this ridiculous, like truly profoundly ridiculous interview that Don Lemon did with Elon Musk. We showed you a couple clips yesterday. They had leaked out onto Twitter. And then, of course, the media went crazy, claiming that Elon Musk, after the interview, was not happy with Don and fired him. He had never hired him in the first place. Don Lemon demanded $5 million advance and a Cybertruck and equity in X. Elon said, you can use X like everybody else. The media just went off with a completely dishonest story, which, I mean, that's no surprise to anyone. But anyway, the full thing is now out on Twitter, and they got into it over basically everything. And Don Lemon, you know what the theme of today is? The title of today's show, I suppose, should be Don Lemon, Idiot, Evil, or Sellout? That's really the question I have for you, and we look forward to your responses at the end. But they get into it from diversity, equity, inclusion, and how all of the bad ideas have led to this disastrous immigration situation. They talked about censorship and big tech, and I'm going to connect that to sort of the destabilization of society as we know it, because that's exactly what the left and the Don Lemon types are doing right now and all that. So let's just dive right in. First, they got into it about diversity, equity, and inclusion. And as you know, this is the idea that we should judge people by the color of their skin. And if you were looking at people's resumes, you might go, oh, well, this guy's black, let's put him above this guy who's white, and definitely let's put him over this guy who's Asian, and really definitely let's put him over this guy who's Jewish. Some might call that systemic racism. They call it wokeness and diversity and all that good stuff. So here's Lemon and Elon getting into it about lowering standards and what that might do to society.
Do you believe that people are dying because medical standards, DEI, is causing medical standards to be lowered? Do you actually believe people are dying because of that?
I believe that if we lower the standards for what it takes to become a doctor.
But you're saying if we lower the standards, yes. But do you believe people are dying because the standards are being lowered?
I don't or have think been that lowered. Is yet an issue, but it could become an issue.
Okay. But the actual evidence in history shows the exact opposite. If you look at how minorities are treated by the medical system, most doctors now are white. And there are lots of mistakes in medicine. So you're saying that white doctors have bad medical care? I'm trying to understand your logic here when it comes to DEI, because there's no actual evidence of what you're saying.
No, I said, so if the standards, like let's say, I think that particular thing was referring to surgeons. Let's say a surgeon is asked to, a surgeon in training is asked to do a series of operations under the supervision of a senior surgeon, and they get a bunch of those operations wrong. If that happens, and yet they are still approved to be a surgeon, the probability that someone will die, I think, at some point is high.
Okay, I understand that, but that's a hypothetical. That doesn't mean it's happening.
I didn't say it's happening.
You didn't say it was happening.
I said it will. I said if we lower standards, people will die.
But why respond to something or put something out there that has not happened? Because I could say,
I don't want it to happen. I think we don't want to lower standards.
Good God. Don Lemon is a walking lower standard. First off, remember what I said, the question of the day. Have we ever done a question of the day on the show? The question of the day, Don Lemon, idiot, evil, or sellout? We'll let you guys decide at the end. Actually, maybe we could do a poll in locals to find out what do the people say at the end of the show. It is obvious, and everyone knows it, that if you lower standards for a certain set of people, based on their gender, based on their skin color, whatever it might be, over time, you will get people killed as it relates to the medical profession, which is what they're talking about, right? Elon is not saying he has evidence that it's happening right now, because DEI is a relatively new phenomenon in our institution, say in the last decade or so, probably in medical institutions. It's been involved in our educational institutions for a long time. So he doesn't have the exact numbers to show you that, but everyone knows this. Just think about it this way. If you were to take a young kid and say, oh, because of the color of your skin, it'll be easier for you to get into that elite high school. And then because of the color of your skin, you can get lesser scores on your SATs or other standardized tests to get into college. And then when you're in college, you can get lesser scores to get into, say, medical school. And then when the hospital is hiring, oh, we will allow students based on the color of their skin to get into this hospital and perform surgery despite not having as good grades as some other kid. We're going to discriminate against all those other kids. But put that discrimination aside. You will systematically, right? They always talk about systematically. You will systematically degrade the entire system. And that is exactly what he's talking about it about, and we know it, and Lemon pretending that that's just not true. And also the implication, Lemon's implication is, well, most doctors are white. I'm not even sure if that's true in America anymore, but it's a moot point. And most good doctors actually do the best that they can. But if you lower the standards that allow them to become doctors in the first place, whether they know it or not, things are going to get worse, okay? But Lemon pretending that, oh, well, there's a lot of white doctors, and we know that somehow healthcare for these people is worse, like as if there's some sort of racist intent there. It's just so awful. Anyway, here's Lemon again, just confused. I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. Why? I have no idea. Lemon just confused about what Elon's trying to say.
So are you saying that if the majority of doctors are white, are you saying that and there are still these inequities, right? There are still mistakes. Are you blaming DEI for that?
No, I'm very basically saying that if we lower standards for what it takes to become a board certified surgeon or, you know, an oncologist or something where the kind of disease we're talking about, if you make a mistake, causes someone to die, then the more people will die than if we don't lower the standards. Therefore, we should not lower the standards.
But why do you think they're lowering the standards for minority doctors or women doctors? Or
that's what that article suggested. Yes, at Duke University.
Okay, the evidence that I have shows that that's not true.
Okay, that's just not true, Lemon. The Duke University thing, we showed you that a couple of weeks ago. Ben Shapiro had a long Twitter thread about it, and again, we just know it's true, right? Like, let's just, the simplest way I could lay this out. Let's just say you had 20 people that were taking a test to become a doctor, And you had four spots for the people that could become surgeons, right? You needed a heart surgeon, a brain surgeon, two other positions. If you wanted the best of the best of those 20 people in a colorblind society, which is the promise of what America is, then do you think it would be wise to say, okay, actually we've got 20 people, only four can get in, but I really do need two black people and one Asian and one white guy. How would that make any sense? That would degrade the whole system. And there is an awful lot of evidence that the degradation of the system has been intentional. I want to show you this info from Libs of TikTok. Check this out. Unreal, the association of the American Medical Colleges, which partners with the American Medical Association, is responsible for medical school admissions and granting medical licenses in the U.S. In order to embrace DEI, they don't rely on test scores and grades alone. Elon is right. DEI in the medical field will get people killed. And this is from their own documents, how they want to foster diversity and inclusion. And I'll read you the highlighted part. This is about admission standards, a process by which they consider each applicant individually to determine how they might contribute to the learning environment and the workforce instead of relying on test scores and grades alone. So do you get it? They have figured out all of these different ways in the name of tolerance and diversity and all of that good stuff that confuses people to actually degrade the ability for people to get the best doctors. And what does that do over time? Over time, Elon is right. There isn't exact evidence for it now. Has a certain amount of this color doctor had this amount of malpractice, and that's because they got in with lower standards. We don't know all about that yet, but the general premise here that Don Lemon, who is a diversity hire himself at CNN, obviously, because he's not particularly bright and he's not a real journalist, so they hired him for some reason. Everyone knows it. And yes, Elon tweeted this in response to that. This is it. This is just it. If you lower standards for being a doctor, people will die. It's just as simple as that. And by the way, it's not just doctors. If you lower standards for airline pilots, people will die. If you lower standards for janitors, there's going to be more urine on the floor. That's how it works. But now I want to connect this to more largely what's happening across society right now, because we are under assault at every level, everywhere. You might say, okay, DEI in education, we know what that's done. Now we're talking about DEI as it pertains to the medical field. We see what that's doing and what it will do in the future. Guess what it's doing to the legal profession right now? This one's a doozy. Headline from the Spokesman Review. Supreme Court bar exam will no longer be required to become an attorney in Washington state. Yeah. So you will not have to take the bar to practice law in Washington state. The bar exam is the exam that you're supposed to take so that it makes sure that you know all of the legal ins and outs in the state. Each state has a different bar exam, and then you can practice law in that state. And sometimes you can take the bar exam in several states and be able to practice law in several states. But Washington state's not going to have it anymore because apparently they think it is somehow racist. And I guarantee you now the quality, now the government, so think about what this is going to now do. The government now is going to start hiring more people who have not passed the bar exam. And who needs government defenders? Well, it usually is black and brown people. So now there's going to be trials, and you are going to have less qualified public defenders defending the black and brown people, thus sending more of them to jail. This is all just obvious, and it is so extraordinary that if it wasn't smashing us in the face, perhaps we wouldn't believe it. We've got a whole bunch more on how it's leaking into political policy and immigration and all that, but let me talk to you guys about Preserve Gold real quick. Guys, a new central bank digital currency is coming and could replace your dollars with digital currency. With it could come surveillance of your lives, freezing assets and government control of our bank accounts and how we spend our money. Americans who want to protect their liberty and privacy need to prepare themselves for what's to come. That's why many Americans are turning to physical gold and silver to diversify their wealth. If you want to help protect your retirement, I recommend you request the free investment guide from my friends at Preserve Gold today. They'll explore the right options for you and will help you with the process to have physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or inside your IRA, 401k, or other qualified retirement account. And they make it easy. They're a triple B accredited with zero consumer complaints and hundreds of satisfied clients. There's also a founding member, they are also a founding member of the Precious Metals Association, so you know you're in good hands. And as an exclusive offer for Reuben Report viewers, they'll give you up to $10,000 in free gold and silver with a qualifying purchase or retirement account rollover. They'll even throw in an immediate $500 account credit if you request your investor guide today. So don't wait. Visit preservegold.com/Dave today to get your free gold and silver investment guide and take the first step towards helping protect your wealth. Again, that's preservegold.com/Dave to get your free guide from the good people at Preserve Gold. And now back to me. Okay, so let's continue, because it's not just that when this neo-racism masked and couched in the, we're nice and diverse and all of this stuff. It's not just that when it does that, it destroys our education system and it destroys the doctors and it destroys the borders and it destroys, you know, doctors, lawyers, the whole damn thing. It also destroys the borders. And we have a massive, massive national security threat happening right now. And you may remember a certain orange man who in around 2015 was running for president, and he kept saying, we have to build a wall. We have a country or we don't have a country. And what did they say? Well, they consistently told you that that was racist. Now, ironically, as of the last few months, thanks to online shows and you guys sharing videos and everything else, it is now bubbled up and mainstream is now covering the fact that we don't really have a border. And about 7 million people have come into this country in the last 4 or so years, which is more than something like 30 states' populations. Before we get into what's happening right now, how about a 2015 to 2020 compilation of the mainstream media calling Donald Trump's border wall racist?
But he only talks about that wall as a solution, as a cure-all, a panacea, to hold back the brown menace that he wants you to believe in. Like we're living in some bizarre Game of Thrones drama. Except the walkers are brown, not white, of course.
This wall that the president wants is a monument to white nationalism. Anybody who agrees to give any money to this wall is foolish.
It's all about keeping non-white people from crossing the border. The fears are all race-based.
This is about a wall that is to keep people like me and my students and their families out. It is a wall that is racist.
The wall is kind of a metaphor for Donald Trump's presidency. The foundation of the wall is hate. It's fear.
Yep.
They're not talking about bringing diversity into the country. Donald Trump is playing to this base instinct that is wrong and immoral.
And what you said, it speaks more about
controlling the browning of America.
I like that Lemon made it into that compilation. So they've been doing this for years, right? And there was nothing racist about a wall. A wall is just a physical representation of having a border. And if you believe that Mexico and the United States are not the same country, if you believe that Canada and the United States are not the same country, then every country has a right to protect its borders as it sees fit. As you guys know, I was in Israel last week, and I think they have a major regret not doing more as it relates to walls and fences and relying too much on electronic surveillance and a whole bunch of other stuff. So as we see all these people rampage through the country right now, and we have no idea where they're going, and by the way, they are committing a lot of crime. We'll get to that in just a second. It is not racist. It is not racist to want a wall. But we got a couple more headlines that you, these are just oldies but goodies about Donald Trump and his wall. This is from NBC a couple of years ago. Trump's border wall was never just about security. It's meant to remind all Latinos that we're unwelcome. Odd, because plenty of Latinos do come here totally legally. A headline from Bloomberg. This isn't a border wall. It's a monument to white supremacy, like Confederate monuments. President Trump's vision of a massive wall along the Mexican border is about propaganda and racial oppression, not national security. It would have been racial oppression if they were using the wall to keep people of a certain race in the country, not keep illegal people out of the country. Okay, but you guys get that, right? Everyone gets that. They've lied about Trump repeatedly. They've lied about borders. They claim everything is racist. So now let's get this into 2024. Well, we have major problems right now. And those problems now are getting all the way up to the Supreme Court because Samuel Alito, one of the conservatives on the Supreme Court, has extended an order preventing Texas officials from detaining illegal immigrants. So you know that this has been a fight for the last month or so, as Texas Governor Greg Abbott basically said, okay, the federal government is not doing their job. The federal government is just allowing all these people in. So we are going to do some protections. We're going to put up some barbed wire to stop people from coming out, and we're going to arrest some people. Well, now the Supreme Court has decided that that is not allowed. And Sam Alito, a conservative, is now backing that. Check this out.
Now to some breaking news. Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito has extended the temporary pause on a sweeping Texas immigration law from taking effect. Now, this law would empower local authorities to arrest suspected migrants from unlawfully crossing the border. The Department of Justice calls it unconstitutional.
Okay, so I'm going to get a legal scholar on to dive into the specifics of what's now happening between the federal government and the states. But what you need to understand at the moment is that Texas was trying to protect the citizens of Texas, and by extension, the United States, because they get in through Texas, they get in through Arizona, and then they go all over the place. The Supreme Court is now saying, oh, no, just you think you can arrest an illegal? What are you doing? You can't do that. I mean, it's completely, absolutely insane. But I would say this is textbook DEI in political policy and law. And what is the result if you just allow all these people in and you don't know where they're coming from or what they're doing here or what their intentions are or what their culture is like? Well, a bunch of bad stuff could happen.
We've got another tragic story connected to the border crisis. Travis Wolf was just one day away from celebrating his 12th birthday when a woman who was in the United States illegally from Venezuela crashed head-on into his family's Jeep.
Church teacher accused of abusing several children in Montgomery County, Maryland. Tonight, immigration officials tell us he was never supposed to be in the United States in the first place, and he had already been deported twice.
Palm Beach County deputies arrested three undocumented immigrants in Lake Worth Beach on sexual battery charges. According to the arrest affidavit, the three suspects, all from Guatemala, abducted a local woman along the street and threw her inside a truck. Authorities say the men drove off and stopped at a nearby intersection where they sexually assaulted her and filmed it.
The leader of a Colombian street gang, Los Santanias, has been arrested in Texas, where he was seeking asylum. Colombian authorities confirmed that he was one of the seven most wanted murderers in Colombia's capital.
A woman accused in Mexico of several murders and body dismemberments, even removing victims' hearts, is arrested in El Paso. The FBI says Pineda was known for extreme brutality, dismembering bodies, removing hearts, and placing the hearts in front of Santa Muerte statues.
Jeez, she can't come over for dinner. Guys, am I being a dick by showing you that and bringing this up? Am I being racist? Do you think the people who were dismembered and had their hearts ripped out and a bunch of stuff, do you think in retrospect, they might have wanted a wall and a border that would have made sense? I do want to make one legal clarification here. Alito is not saying that Texas cannot do anything. It's basically a stay on the order. Until it reaches the Supreme Court, they're saying Texas can't do anything. Now, personally, I don't see how that makes any sense. But again, I'm not a legal expert as it relates to how the Supreme Court and the states are supposed to go back and forth on all of these things. To me, if a state is having an invasion, you damn well better do everything you can to stop that invasion. So now, as we talk about, and if we can connect this to the Elon Don Lemon thing, that you will degrade all of the systems and what will happen. So you'll have doctors that cannot operate, you will have pilots that cannot fly, you will have police officers who will not be qualified to do the proper policing, et cetera, and that is exactly what's happening. You know this is happening in New York, where police officers are retiring en masse. They're now lowering standards to get more people in, and now I'll take you to Los Angeles, where the crime now related to the illegal immigrants is so bad that they now have a special task force to combat organized foreign gangs. I would note that I don't live in Los Angeles. Go.
We have a significant increase in burglaries from organized groups that are outside this country that are coming into the country, and they are targeting high-end residents. And we are addressing that specifically in a task force fashion through multi-agencies.
Lots of these break-ins have been recorded by security cameras in recent years. Detectives tell me many tourist burglars who've been arrested often entered the U.S. through a visa waiver program. Many were visiting from Chile and other South American countries. The LAPD says there have been more than 900 residential burglaries across the city since January, some of those committed by the tourist burglars who often target luxury homes in the foothills. And some of them may be using new technology technology to interfere with home security.
You know, when we left Los Angeles, I was obviously very frustrated with COVID and the recall didn't go as well and everything else. But there was a rash of crime in the neighborhood that I lived in, which was a pretty nice neighborhood. And we would hear gunshots at night. And we just knew, my feeling was, it was going to collapse there. Well, that was 2.5 years ago. And it systematically has gotten worse there. They now, like 900 robberies related to illegal immigrants in Los Angeles. Think of the amount of wealth and what should be good policing and clean streets there, and they don't have that, but they have welcomed all of this in, so I would say congratulations, and you got exactly what you voted for if you live in Los Angeles right now. We're gonna connect all of this to censorship, because DEI is deeply connected to that too, which is why they call everybody racist. We'll do that on the other side. Let me tell you guys about the wellness company real quick. Guys, life is unpredictable. And if we've learned anything over the last couple of years, it's that. And while we can't possibly predict everything that might be thrown at us, we can prepare for it. That's where the wellness company's first aid emergency kit steps in, setting a new standard in readiness and convenience. The wellness company's first aid emergency kit is nothing like your average drugstore first aid kit. It's a lifeline for when you need it most. Containing a tourniquet, coagulating powder, eyewash, a lidocaine patch, instant glucose powder, as well as key prescription medications and a range of essential tools that make all the difference in an emergency, the wellness company's first aid emergency kit is your ultimate guard against the unexpected. When time is critical and immediate action is needed, the wellness company's first aid emergency kit gives you that edge. Respond quickly with the right tools and effectively with the guidebook. To injuries or accidents, it's a level of preparedness that you won't find with any other kit. Stay one step ahead. Get the wellness company's first aid emergency kit today. Excuse me. Visit twc.health/Ruben and use promo code Ruben for an exclusive 15% discount. Your safety and preparedness are invaluable, so trust in the wellness company. And now back to me. All right, so let's jump back to that interview. Now, I just want to note one more time, Don Lemon was not fired after this interview, which is what they said on CNN when they brought the man that they fired back. They said he was fired. He wasn't. He was fired by CNN, not by Elon Musk. Also on The View, we showed you the clip yesterday. They claimed he was fired. He never had a deal. He demanded a crazy amount of money and an equity in the company. He can still be on X. I assume he's on there. I don't follow him. But that's where the clips are going around right now. So he was not fired. Although I think, it's funny. I was about to say, I think Elon probably regrets doing this, but in a weird way, he probably doesn't, because he's just telling the truth. And you can even see just his general thoughtfulness and energy related to all of this. It's like dissecting the stupidity of these people. It's just not that hard. So anyway, the other thing that they want to connect all of this to is they want to make sure that only the official narrative can get out, right? So when a whole bunch of us years ago were complaining about wokeness, even before it was wokeness, right? We were talking about identity politics. They were coming after us. Then we had years of COVID where they wanted to shut down dissenting voices. Now they want to shut down dissenting voices as it pertains to wokeness in the system and as it pertains to immigration and as it pertains to big tech and all of those things. So here is Don Lemon going after Elon Musk because he's allowing too much free speech on the Twitter.
So, but you think you don't think it's okay for them not to advertise with or have their content or their advertisement next to something that is anti-Semitic or?
That is a different question. You can absolutely choose where next to which content do you want your advertising to appear. Absolutely, of course. Mm-hmm. And we have, I think, very good ad placement controls in this regard.
Yeah. So you said if they kill the company, it's them. But doesn't the buck stop with you? I mean, you're
Don, I have to say, choose your question carefully. There's 5 minutes left.
Okay, but so
is this the question you want to ask?
Same question is you said that they are killing the company, but you're the head of the company. The buck doesn't stop with you.
I acquired X in order to preserve freedom of speech in America, the First Amendment. And I'm going to stick to that.
Man, that Don Lemon purports to be a journalist is absolutely hilarious. You know, I say it all the time. I'm not a journalist. I tell you what I think. I'm doing the best I can to have journalistic integrity here. And when I screw something up, I try to correct it or clarify it, et cetera, et cetera. Don Lemon believes he is a journalist, but he is an activist for the machine. He's just a recyclable cog in a machine that does not care about him and shouldn't care about him because he's not particularly talented. Elon Musk bought Twitter so that more of us would be able to communicate. Now, does that mean people say mean things? Yeah. You know how many psychotically evil things I have read about me, especially since October 7th, but for years and years and years, right? All of the awful things people say. What Elon is saying is, okay, we can have tools, the system, we can maximize free speech, which is what we're trying to do. Now, people are going to say mean things, but advertisers can have some tools to make sure that their ads don't get placed next to, say, this person who's a known hater or racist bad person. We can figure out, he wants to figure out a system that will maximize free speech while allowing advertisers to come on board and feel good about what they're doing. And basically, Lemon is just saying, you shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have done that. But what Lemon really means, it's so interesting. Lemon got fired by the system, and he's still sucking off the system. Stop sucking, Don. It's enough. It's enough. Anyway, they continued, and I thought Elon has a great quote on what's going on with the censorship right here.
We don't agree on this.
Yes, you want censorship and I don't.
No, I don't want censorship at
yes,
all.
You do.
No, I want responsibility. I think there.
You desperately want censorship.
No, if I want a censorship.
You want censorship so bad you can taste it.
No, that's not true. It's not true. I think that there's right and wrong.
And I think that
when you have a platform that's as big as yours and as powerful as yours and as influential as yours, and you are a person of consequence to the world with what you do, that there is a certain responsibility that goes along with what you have on your platform and what you put out to the world. And I think that's important. You don't see that responsibility.
I think we have a responsibility to adhere to the law. And if people want the law changed, they should talk to their elected representative and get the law changed, and then we will adhere to the law.
Okay.
But if you want us to go beyond the law, that is us deciding to be censors.
So,
and I'm against censorship. I'm in favor of freedom of speech.
Yeah.
And freedom of speech only is relevant when people you don't like say things you don't like. Otherwise, it has no meaning.
So it's so incredible. Again, I don't think we should gloss over just like his general demeanor and the thoughtfulness which he is applying to this and virtually everything else he talks about. I don't mean that in bow down worship to the guy, but he took $44 billion of his own money to a company that was purging money, that is still losing money. He's trying to send people to Mars. He's building electric cars. He's trying to do Neuralink and Starlink and all of these other things. And he's, I would say, and I mean that's respectfully, wasting time talking to a brain dead moron. Like, and it's only because he believes in free speech. That's the point. Do you think we, right now, with all of the problems in the world, do you think we need more free speech or less free speech? And what he's saying is, hey, we've got a First Amendment. We're going to try our best to have policies that will be as closely aligned to that to maximize free speech. And he's basically saying, we know people say bad things. He's not denying it. Do people say bad things? By the way, before he bought Twitter, people said bad things. You know, I've mentioned the child porn issue on Twitter. Nobody seemed to care that there was child porn on Twitter until Elon Musk bought it. So suddenly Elon Musk bought Twitter, and then there was this plethora of articles written about there's a child porn problem on Twitter. And then you can look, and all of the articles, all of the authors, the quote-unquote journalists who wrote those articles, they never wrote those articles before he bought it. So what do you think the thing's really about? And by the way, he's actually doing something about it. But the point is that censorship is not just reappearing in social media, right? There's this massive push to just take out X right now. But it is in our government, it is in all of our institutions, and yes, now we have a problem in the Supreme Court as well. I referenced the border thing before, but now take a look about the Supreme Court and the Biden administration's social media COVID-19 removal policy, which, by the way, you may remember Jim Jordan, congressman from Ohio, he listed me, little old Dave Rubin, as one of the people that the government actually did work with Twitter to eliminate posts on. Take a look.
Was the Biden administration violating citizens' First Amendment rights or fighting digital lies when it pushed social media companies to remove posts about COVID? That's the question facing the Supreme Court now.
It's the most important free speech case in our lifetime.
The justices heard arguments this morning after Missouri, Louisiana, and a group of social media users complained the administration's push for tech companies to remove posts about COVID amounted to government coercion.
It's treating Facebook and these other platforms like they're subordinates. Would you do that to the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal or the Associated Press? or any other big newspaper or wire service.
There's a problem if the government is engaged in coercion, but if it stays on the persuasion side of the line and all we're talking about is government speech, then there's no state action.
Okay, so we all know this, right? There's the video we've shown you a million times on this show at the height of COVID where Jen Psaki said that they coordinate with tech companies to decide, you know, the exact line was they flag posts for big tech that they find problematic. Again, Jim Jordan has the evidence of the people, including me, who the government then talked to Twitter and talked to Facebook about. And the question is, that was all during COVID, but are they doing it right now as it relates to immigration? You know, we got the Twitter files. Right, so we found out all of the collusion and the coercion that was going on Twitter, but isn't it interesting? Nobody's asking for that as it relates to YouTube or as it relates to Instagram or Facebook or anywhere else. Anyway, it is fairly obvious that if the government was to call a social media company and kind of be like, could you look into that post? Could you, that actually is an infringement on your First Amendment right to free speech. But now this is wild. This is a special one. Ketanji Brown Jackson, who is the first black female Supreme Court justice, God bless her, because the color of your skin and your vagina matters more than your ability to know what a woman is. She was explaining, or just listen to some of her argument as they were trying to hash this whole thing out. She is very confused as to whether the First Amendment is to protect your free speech or the government. This one is just wild. Enjoy.
My biggest concern is that your view has the First Amendment hamstringing the government in significant ways in the most important time periods. What would you have the government do? I've heard you say a couple times that the government can post its own speech, but in my hypothetical, kids, this is not safe, don't do it, is not going to get it done. And so I guess some might say that the government actually has a duty to take steps to protect the citizens of this country, and you seem to be suggesting that that duty cannot manifest itself in the government encouraging or even pressuring platforms to take down harmful information. So can you help me? Because I'm really worried about that, because you've got the First Amendment operating in an environment of threatening circumstances from the government's perspective, and you're saying that the government can't interact with the source of those problems.
If you followed all of that, that is one of the most psychotic and backward statements that a Supreme Court justice has ever said. The First Amendment, she's upset that the First Amendment is hamstringing the government's ability to suppress free speech. The First Amendment is designed to hamstring the government's ability to suppress your free speech. That's the whole point of the First Amendment. The First Amendment is designed to protect your God-given right to free speech, to make sure that the government can't infringe on that. And she's upset by that. She's saying, well, people might say mean things and you don't want the government to be able to work with the tech people to silence me. She should be kicked off the Supreme Court, period. It is such a fundamental misunderstanding of the First Amendment, which many would argue is the most important. Some would say it's the Second Amendment. We can have a debate about that. That to me is like, you gotta go. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. Like, you should not be a Supreme Court justice. Now, interestingly, she was only put on the Supreme Court because she is a black woman. That is not a racist nor sexist thing to say. Joe Biden said it himself, how proud he was to put the first black woman up there. And she clearly isn't qualified because she don't know what the fucking First Amendment is. And that's a problem. And the thing is, guys, when these problems leak into every part of society, as we have laid out, you might be priming people to do crazy things. James Lindsay, who's been on this show many times, who is, I think, probably the best sort of holistic thinker as it comes to what wokeism is doing to our country and how they are actually ushering in communism, Marxism, whatever you want to call it. He was on Joe Rogan yesterday and listened to them talk about destabilizing a population and what that might cause people to do to ourselves.
I'm more afraid that this is intentional in a lot of places, in a lot of ways.
But this
we know in those cities, we know.
But if they played it out this much, if they thought about it and said, you know what, we want more crime, we want more illegal aliens, and if we keep the chaos,
well,
then we keep passing laws, we'll get further down
because
the road.
If you read the Marxist literature, which is unfortunately my damn job, you can derive a number of different conclusions. One of these conclusions that you can derive absolutely is, do you know what repels a revolution in a country better than anything? Stability. Social stability. So if you can destabilize a population, then you can get them to crave a revolution, or you can, like with the Patriot Act, you can get them to assent to sacrificing their liberties for security. So if you can destabilize an area, then you can cause them to want to have radical political change. We just saw this. This woman was in the Fox News this morning, so I have to double check. But she's talking about, was she from Maryland? She's in the government. She says that she wants to burn the country to the ground so her ideology can rise out of it, out of the ashes.
Woo.
Right? So she said this publicly, and she's the equity coordinator in one of these cities.
You know, this is an interesting point because Brett Weinstein, you may remember we played a clip of him a few weeks ago where he talked about, he was actually on Alex Jones' show, and he got a lot of shit for going on Alex Jones' show, but he's going to where people will talk to him. And he made an interesting point, which is that it's very easy to break all of these things, all of these institutions that we've had, all of the functioning, the basic functioning society that we've had. Yes, you can break it. But what comes on the other side? And that's what Rogan's point is. He's like, all right, well, wait a minute. Why would they want endless crime and endless drug use on the streets and the claps? Because they have to live in society too. What James is pointing out there is, if you want to usher in a new system, which I believe these people want to usher in a new system, they don't like this system very much, right? Do you think that AOC or Barack Obama, who's really driving this, it's not Joe Biden, obviously, or Ilhan Omar, Rashida, or the progressive, do you think they really like America? I mean, they think it was founded on racism. Why wouldn't you want to burn it down? So then what do you have to do? Well, as James lays out, in a stable society, we have sort of force fields against like just destroying everything, right? When things basically work, when you basically can go to the store and not be mugged on the way, and your kids can go to school and not be taught that they're girls when they're boys, or when there aren't illegal immigrants all over the place, and so then crime is rising, or you can't go into a store and just steal whatever you want. When you basically have a stable society, that is the force field for all the bad ideas. Then things kind of work, and yeah. And by the way, that's the way America was 20 years ago. We could have liberals arguing this, conservatives arguing this, but the thing basically worked. Now they've come in and basically destroyed absolutely everything, and we've let it rise to the point that we have Supreme Court justices who think that the First Amendment is to defend the government, not you. That is the most backwards, insane thing ever. But if you want to burn it all down, you would do exactly what they are doing right now. So they are destabilizing the population by using the woke mind virus as their vehicle. That's what DEI is. That's the purpose of all the migrants. That's the purpose of the censorship and everything else. And you know where that could all lead? To a pretty, pretty, pretty bad place.
I mean, that's one of the things that the SPLC accuses me of, though, is that I promoted the white genocide theory, which that is not true. But what are you going to do about these things?
Well, there's plenty of people that have said crazy things about white people lately that you're allowed to say that just drives me nuts.
I just said that if the logic of CRT was played out to its conclusion, that it would end in a genocide of whites, which is a completely different thing. That word "if" means a lot.
If it was taken to its fullest example. I think there's also a problem with, you know, when you tell people that a group of people are responsible for things, or a group of people, like just completely composed of individuals with completely different lives,
right,
and everyone's got different experiences, and we say that that group of people is either bad or that group of people was responsible for everything, like as soon as you do that, you allow othering.
That's right.
Othering is the number one problem we have tribally, culturally, that we can look at other human beings as if they're not us. And this is what's going on in Gaza in Israel right now.
That's what's going on with this guy. I'm not going to defend whatever, but
right,
this dude, like, the counter reaction eventually to relentless identity politics is for the other side to start saying, okay, identity politics.
Right
or wrong, what it does is it creates more of itself. It's like it's contagious.
It makes people more racist.
Yeah, it does.
It does. And when they feel like there's racism allowed against white people, that there's this double standard, then they get racist. There's a lot of people that do that, man. And it fuels it. It's fucking horrible.
Yes, that is absolutely correct, Joe, right? Like, what has happened here? Do you think America is less racist or more racist than it was, say, 20 years ago? What do I always say? It's like, if we could just go back to 1995, we basically had it all solved. There were a few little things on the margins that we had to deal with, but that was it, right? We went, unfortunately, once there was equality, true equality, nobody was discriminated against by any law, Once we got that, they decided to move on equity, which was a rejiggering, a reorganization of society. That has nothing to do with American values. Equality is a true, classically liberal American value that the founders intended, and we're always working to form a more perfect union, right? And that's what we've done so well here. But if you do you think we're more racist or less racist than we were 20 years ago? And the obvious answer to that is the country as a whole is far more racist. The left, the entire apparatus of the left is based in racism. White people are bad. Jews are particularly bad. We're going to discriminate against Asians, but they don't say much, so we don't have to deal with them. And then what happens is, as Joe's pointing out, then people who are not racist before, the average white person who was just like, oh, I'm going to work hard and have my family and do what I can. And then they're like, oh, and I, you know, I keep getting passed up on these jobs for people who are less qualified. Or, you know, I'm going to the doctor and it's going to pop into someone's brain. Oh, wait a minute, my doctor's black. I wonder, do I need to look into how he got this job in the first place? And did he get into medical school more easily and everything else that I laid out before? So they are now bringing in racism into the system. And once you have racism into the system and you have allowed crime into the system and you've allowed drug use into the system and open borders, well, then you have a society that's destabilized, right? And the destabilization is exactly what they want because they want something new on the other side. So now let's go back to Elon with Don Lemon. And here's Elon explaining exactly why he has been so radical when it comes to defeating the woke mind virus.
Do you know what the term woke actually means?
It's come to mean a lot of things.
But what it actually, what originally it was meant to mean, it's just being aware of inequities in society and being aware of facts and history.
Yeah, I think it's come to be, I think being aware of inequities in society is fine, of course. But trying to blame everything on trying to make everything a race issue is, I think, divisive and corrosive to society.
Even as it relates to trans issues, which is what I'm...
Yeah, race or, you know, gender or whatever.
You think that society blames everything on racism now?
It blames a lot of things on it, and, yeah.
You think that's unfair?
Yeah.
Why?
I think we should not make this a constant subject. I think we need to move on. I think we should just, you know, treat people like people.
Okay, we did put up a poll during the show on Twitter asking Don Lemon, idiot, evil, or sellout. So we'll have the results of that at the end. But do you see the way he even frames what wokeness is wrong? Don's definition of wokeness is that you're aware of inequities, facts, and history. Well, the 1619 Project is not a fact and it is not history. Inequities, as Elon points out, yeah, there are inequities in society and we can look at how you fix those things. You probably don't fix them through government programs, and actually it is government programs that left certain people in generational poverty and everything else. And the more affordable housing you do, the more you crush the human spirit to go get yours and everything else. But he's just framing it as, oh, wokeness is good. It's about inequities and real history and real facts. Well, is it a fact that if you're a boy and they chop your wang off that you're suddenly a girl? No, you're not. It's a fact that you're not, actually. But Don wouldn't be too thrilled with that. All right, one more from Elon and Don. This is them talking about race and gender, and imagine this, guys. What if we just treated people like individuals? Wouldn't that be wild?
You don't agree that this country was founded on racism and founded on slavery and in many ways inequities? That still continue on to this day?
I think every country at that time, and I think even today, was extremely racist. Every country. But what future do we want? Is this something we want to make a part of our constant dialogue forever? Or do we want to say, like, let's just move on and treat everyone, according to just who they are as an individual?
I agree with you with that. That's the ideal. But what the evidence shows is that that's not what's actually in practice.
I think we're doing better than anywhere else.
That's true. I agree with that. But that doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean a lot to a whole lot of people who aren't able to take advantage of the opportunities that you were able to take advantage of simply because of the color of your skin.
What advantage does it do? My color of my skin give me?
Well, there's an ease that you have in society that many people of color don't. You were able to come to this country voluntarily. There are many people who were not able to come to the country voluntarily. There are people who came here as slaves.
For me to come here.
And there is a legacy of slavery that still continues on. There's a legacy of racism that still continues on in this country. That's undeniable.
Well, if we keep talking about it nonstop, it will never go away. If we keep making it the central thing, it will never go away.
Well, why do you believe that?
I think I'm just making a simple statement of fact. I think we want to get away from making everything a race or a gender or whatever issue and just treat people like individuals.
You know, I told you a couple days ago we got this inflatable clown so that I can punch it instead of having to analyze everything. Brock, you said you were going to inflate the inflatable clown. What are you doing? All right, Brock's going to inflate the inflatable clown. Of course, Elon's absolutely right. If there were laws that discriminated against people based on the color of their skin or anything else, then we should remove those laws. No such laws exist. Actually, because of wokeism now, we now have institutionalized racism so that you have every advantage if you are a specific color, right? Elon is, and then like everything Lemon says is so stupid. In essence, you got into this country because you were white. Not everyone can get into this country. Well, yes, there are nation states with borders. Sorry, Don. But now I want to show you something that I think will perfectly wrap this thing up. Because Don Lemon was not always woke. Don Lemon used to say something roughly approximating something true. So this is video of Don Lemon 11 years ago in 2013. It's gonna start with a Bill O'Reilly clip and then Don commenting on it. And listen to how different Don Lemon was until the woke mind virus took over his lemon-sized brain.
Bill? Raised without much structure, young black men often reject education and gravitate towards the street culture, drugs, hustling, gangs. Nobody forces them to do that. Again, it is a personal decision.
He is right about that too. But in my estimation, he doesn't go far enough. Because black people, if you really want to fix the problem, here's just five things that you should think about doing. Here's number five, pull up your pants. Number four now is the N-word. Now number three, respect where you live. Start small by not dropping trash, littering in your own communities. I've lived in several predominantly white neighborhoods in my life. I rarely, if ever, witness people littering. I live in Harlem now. It's an historically black neighborhood. Every single day I see adults and children dropping their trash on the ground when a garbage can is just feet away. Just being honest here. Number two, finish school. You want to break the cycle of poverty? Stop telling kids they're acting white because they go to school or they speak proper English. Over the course of a career, a college grad will make nearly $1 million more than a high school graduate. That's a lot of money. And number one, and probably the most important, just because you can have a baby, it doesn't mean you should, especially without planning for one or getting married first. More than 72% of children in the African American community are born out of wedlock. That means absent fathers. And the studies show that lack of a male role model is an express train right to prison. And the cycle continues. So please, black folks, pay close attention to the hip hop and rap culture that glorifies everything I just mentioned, thug and reprehensible behavior, a culture that is making a lot of people rich, just not you.
I mean, is that absolutely extraordinary or what? The DEI woke grift is the greatest grift God ever gave to the world. Don Lemon told the truth there, and Don Lemon knows that's the truth. And Don Lemon gave the system whatever it wanted as it pertained to Trump and everything else. The system had no use for him anymore. They fired him, and now he's gone full woke and is fighting against free speech. Imagine if anyone else had said that. If I right now said, you know, if you go into black communities and you litter, it's not a problem. You go into white communities and you litter, it's a problem. Don Lemon would say I'm racist. But Don Lemon was telling the truth back then. I can't actually comment on whether black people are littering more in their community than white people are. I just don't know that for a fact. but pull up your pants, the stuff about getting a job, education, two-parent household, all of those things. Don Lemon knew what was true and now has gone on the grift train. And that, and we've seen so many people do it. And by the way, in just a moment, we will release the results of the Twitter poll. Don Lemon, idiot, evil, or sellout. But I want to do two more things for you. Quickly, a quote from G.K. Chesterton, which we've referenced a couple times on the show. Tolerance is the virtue of the man without convictions. Now, I reference that before I get you to the final clip, because we have been told that tolerance is the most important thing. It doesn't matter how wacky anyone is, the weirdness that they are bringing onto society, or anything else, that we should just tolerate them. But in a hierarchy of importance, of course, tolerance shouldn't be number one, right? This is Karl Popper's paradox of tolerance. You want to be tolerant, but if you are so tolerant of intolerance, the intolerant people will take out the tolerant people pretty quickly. So we leave you with one more clip. This is Jordan Peterson explaining why tolerance, compassion, things like that are not necessarily the ideal virtue in a society that wants to function.
I don't regard compassion as a virtue. Compassion is a reflex, not a virtue.
You don't think
judicious compassion is a virtue?
Wait a minute. Compassion can come deep from the human heart and the human mind, I think. Are we talking about the same kind of compassion?
Yes.
Trying to understand the suffering.
Treating
the
adults like infants is not virtuous.
I see. But well, compassion isn't treating adults like, those are just terms.
Are you sure?
Okay. Whatever the term is, maybe love is maybe the better
word. Compassion is.
I suppose I'm speaking to love. You don't think those ideas came from concern?
Love is compassion.
You don't think
love
those...
is a blend of compassion and encouragement and truth. Love's and complicated, truth. Man.
Yeah.
If I love you, if I love you, is it compassion or encouragement you want from me?
Yeah, it's a dance. Love is definitely a dance of two humans, ultimately, that leads to the growth of both.
Well, that's the thing. The growth element is crucial.
Yeah.
Because the growth element, to foster the growth element, that requires judgment. Compassion and judgment, well, even, and have been conceptualized this way forever, two hands of God, mercy and justice. They have to operate in tandem, right? And mercy is, flawed as you are, you're acceptable. It's like, well, do you want that? Do you want your flaws to be acceptable? And the answer to that is no. It's like, well, that's where the judgment comes in. It's like, but you could be better. You could be more than you are. And that's the maternal and the paternal in some fundamental sense. And there has to be an active exchange of information between those two.
Well, that's where we're at, guys. We could use a little judgment. We could use a little bit of mercy and justice. It's not to be racist and never let anyone into the country, but we also have to decide that we are a country of laws and will do it judiciously and properly and everything else. It is not just endlessly merciful to say people and steal whatever they want and do drugs on the street and come here regardless of their values. That's not merciful. You might think it's merciful to them. It's actually not, but it's certainly not merciful to the law-abiding people who live in this country right now. So we have to combine those two things, combine mercy and justice, instead of combining just wokeness and tolerance, right? Oh my God, we're so compassionate. We let everybody do whatever the hell we want. That is not great. What is great is what we've had here, right? It was meritocracy, because meritocracy, what's baked into that is virtue, right? If you just have to go out, if there's just laws that say, we're equal, go get what you can, and maybe it was tougher for your grandparents than your grandparents, and this, that, the other thing, okay, fine, but we're equal, get what you can, then there is a fucking amazing game to be played. It is the game that is the jealousy of the entire history of the world. The default position of the world is not that everything is equal and everyone can just get out there and do it, but we've done it here and we are throwing it away. We will have to decide whether we will reclaim it or let them take it. It is as simple as that. Guys, just a reminder that Isabel Brown's new book is out today. I highly, highly recommend it. As I said, I wrote the foreword. I just adore her, and part one of our interview will be up later today. We've got the poll. We did the poll. I put a poll on the Twitter while we were doing the show. Don Lemon, idiot, evil, or sellout. 70% of people said he's an idiot. So people, that's interesting because you guys aren't, that's it. You just think he's just an idiot. 16% think he's evil. And only 13.2% say sellout. It's interesting because I probably would have gone higher on sellout on that because I think he's just doing what he thinks is best for his career. I don't think he's a complete idiot because we showed you that video from 11 years ago. It's like he did know what was up and he's made a calculated decision. But I respect you guys and I respect you for having an opinion that differs mine. That's what we do around here. All right, post-game show in about 30 seconds, RubenReport.locals.com. Ciao.
And Joan Shingang, I'm going to pronounce her, Shanga Kawawa.
Thanks for tuning in to The Rubin Report. You can watch the show live every weekday at 11 a.m. Eastern and 8 a.m. Pacific on Rumble, Locals, and YouTube. Don't forget to rate, review, share, and subscribe to this podcast. And you can join me for the post-game wrap-up every day after the show at RubinReport.locals.com.